Praise his wonderful name. Right, water baptism. Praise God. Question, why should I be baptized? Well, let's try and answer that question. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. And this is John the Baptist, who is the forerunner to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the voice crying in the wilderness, and he's preparing the way for the Lord. And John is baptizing people even before Christ has come on the scene. And so it starts off and he says, I baptize with water those who turn from their sins and turn to God. But someone is coming soon who is far greater than I am, so much greater than I am. I am not even worthy to be his slave. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the grain with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing area, store the grain in his barn, but burn the chaff with never-ending fire. And verse 13, then we move to the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John did not want to baptize him, because John recognized him. And I am the one, he says, John, who needs to be baptized by you. And Jesus said, so why are you coming? Oh, so John says, so why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it must be done, because we must do everything that is right. So then John baptized Jesus. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling upon Jesus. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, and I am fully pleased with him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Great words there. Powerful. You know, God himself speaking, declaring, you know, that because everything has been done, has been prophesied and as God had planned, then God says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am fully pleased. You know, when Jesus was born, he was called the Son of Man. After his baptism, he's now called the Son of God. You know, before Jesus was baptized, around the age of 30-ish, he'd not done any miracles. Nobody knew him. I mean, there are stories going around that say, well, Jesus, you know, he healed the wings on doves. No, he didn't. His first miracle was at the wedding of the Cana of Galilee. He didn't do anything else because he was just the Son of Man. He was not anointed and appointed at that time until he was baptized in total obedience to God, the Son of God. So, we see it. And then after his baptism, he's now called the Son of God. Spiritually, he's fully released into the things of the kingdom of God. From this point on, it's the beginning of signs, wonders and miracles. This is the power of water baptism, which then allows you and I to be used in the power of the Holy Spirit. So this is part of our preparation, part of our growing, part of our obedience, following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus and we are to follow in his footsteps.
And what has happened for him is designed and ordained for each and every one of us to walk in that same way. He says, greater works shall you do in my name. Glory to God. So, you know, we've got to begin to realize this. And so we find that, you know, the word here that says to fulfill all righteousness, meeting God in a new way, meeting God in a new dimension, being empowered by God. That's part of our baptism in the Spirit, baptism in water. They're together. And as they flow together, we are empowered by the Spirit of God. And it's that obedience to the Word of God. We don't always understand it. But just do it. Just do it. But Lord, I don't understand. He said, no, but just do it. Many of, you know, you'll never understand the miracle. How on earth you and I got saved, I have no idea. You know, how on earth we've arrived here at times. There's some, you know, it's like no idea. But God has ordained your pathway, my pathway, and they've converged. Wow. You know, the direction that we could have gone, the places we could have been, but yet God has ordained for you to be at this such a time as this. Hallelujah. If you look then in Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, Acts chapter 8 and verse 36, we read of Philip, the evangelist. He says, now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said to him, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip was walking on his way and he caught up with his chariot. And there was a eunuch from Ethiopia reading the Word of God, not understanding it. And Philip said to him, do you understand what you're reading? He says, no, but I'd love somebody to explain it to me. So Philip got on board and began to explain it. And then he says, having explained it, what does hinder me to be baptized? Then Philip in verse 37 says, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. What a, you know, that is a declaration. You know, no holding back. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The early church gave new names to believers, as many of them had come from a pagan background of worship, and the names were often given to them in one sense of worship to false gods and false religions and false ways. And so in the early church, they gave them what we now know as Christian names, right? And that Christian name was a name that meant that the old person, after they'd been baptized, was dead, buried and gone. I'm now longer known by that name. I am known by a new name. Amen. And the Orthodox Church in particular, even today, still renames people who've come to faith. Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah. I mean, years back when we met Bish, they'd got some people who were English heathens. And they got saved, gave their lives to Christ, and they were baptized, and they were given a new name. Weren't they? And it was, you know, it was great just to see, because they were acting out Scripture. Because people, you know, when people are given a name, well, I mean, there are names in the Bible where one was, his name meant pain. Can you imagine shouting that when you want your son every day? Jabez. Jabez, you know, which means pain. Pain, come here. Right, who wants to, anybody want to volunteer to call pain to come? And no way, you know, but can you see? And so there were names that were given. But to connect with this a little bit further on, and this is just for information, Revelation chapter 2, And verse 17 says this. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some..." "To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat." Wow. "Some of the hidden manna to eat. And I will give him..." This is the bit I want to get to. "I will give him a white stone. And on that stone, a new name is written, which no one knows except him who receives it." The devil does not even know your name. Take this one on board. The devil does not know your name, so he can't call you by name if you're living in that new revelation. And when he calls the old name, says they're dead. "I buried them. I went to the service and I buried them. And you don't know my name because you're not part of my family." Hallelujah. "I am a new creation." And you see, this white stone is very symbolic. You see, Scripture has symbolisms in it. And it's important that we don't ditch these as evangelicals, which we've done over the years. But there is a true meaning in these things. So, white stone. What does this really mean? Why is it so important that it is a white stone? And my name, your name, new name is written on it. Well, if you turn to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 12. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 12. Now, the thing that I wanted to just bring out in that first verse in Revelation is that it reveals to us what the color of manna was. When you read it there, "I will give some the hidden manna. I will give them a white stone." Manna was that coloration. When we read on in Numbers, so let's just have a look. The white stone, bdellium. "And the gold of the land is good. There is bdellium and onyx and stone." Now this was in Eden. God is speaking about the things that He's inputted and put there. And then Numbers 11 and verse 7. Numbers 11 and verse 7. "And the manna was as coriander seed, and the colour thereof was as the colour of bdellium." Well, if you go back to Genesis, it says, if we tie all these together, we realise that the white stone was bdellium, an onyx stone, and that manna was a white seed. So God ties all these things together. Verse Exodus 16 and verse 31, the house of Israel called the name manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, if you remember when we did our christening services, we talked about coming into the promised land. And we gave to Joshua, we gave him a spoonful of milk and a spoonful of honey. Coming into God's blessing, coming into God's provision, coming under God's covering, you see. All these are connected. They're not just things that you do. It's like, oh, it's a nice thing to do, isn't it? No, it fits to the Word of God. It ties in with God's Word. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that will overcome, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone. And the stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save him that receive it." This is new birth. This is new nature. This is deliverance from the old. This is death to the old man. Satan has no creative power Therefore, he is unable to bring to life the old man. The enemy has just as much power as we surrender to him. So hallelujah, you know, if you don't surrender any power to him, he has no ability to pull you down and begin to destroy you. And we stand against the enemy. And so the old man that is being put to death, when we come to the baptismal service and we baptize you in water, this is symbolic of actually burying you. Total immersion. Putting you into a watery grave. And bringing you up. And then, you see, this is like new birth. Amen. You know, when a child is born, what happens before the child is born? The water breaks. Hallelujah. And so when we bring you up out of the water breaks. Hallelujah. I've preached this before for you, and you just see it's filling again, isn't it? It's refreshing, yeah. It was great, weren't it? I know, it was wonderful. And so that new birth, that breaking forth into new life in Christ Jesus, that's what it's about, you see. This is where God wants us. Yeah, I wish when I was baptized as a teenager, somebody would have explained it like this to me. Because, you know, you've got to be baptized, and that was about it, sort of thing. Why? And I've been baptized twice, you know, because of I'm having another go. I want to make sure it takes. I'm having a proper one, you know. We're going to make sure it takes. Hallelujah. Because for me, I find it's important. And we've got to get this right for people. People have got to know what it's about, because otherwise they just go through the motion of it and don't know the power of it. And it's about knowing the power, because in knowing what's happening, you are then able to grasp hold of that and say, that's what God has done for me. I'm receiving that. I'm taking hold of that. And nobody is taking it off me, because I understand what I've done. And I know that God is for me and not against me. I know that God loves me. I know that God cares for me. I know that God has made a way for me. You know, the children of Israel, they went through a baptism. They went through the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And they crossed over to the other side. Exodus 14 and verse 21. You know, our baptism that we experience, we are setting the new man on his way to the promised land. And God can provide for you and I supernaturally. Amen. Wow. Amen. And you know, some folks say to me, you're just talking rubbish. Well, I know from my experience personally, God has provided supernaturally for me. And so I want to just encourage you that God can provide. And as you believe Him and trust Him and draw close to Him, get into the Word of God, get into that relationship, let the new man begin to live and breathe. You know, when a baby's born, it needs looking after. It needs nurturing, feeding, it needs cleaning and everything else. And then one day it stands up on its own feet. And in the same way, we as believers, when we a new birth, we need to be nurtured. And that's not saying you're sick. It's just doing the right thing and bringing you through into God's fullness of blessing and bringing you to the new experience, bringing you into that deeper relationship with a God who actually loves you. God is love. That's what the Word of God says. That's why we have it written up there. It's a reminder to each and every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse... Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Amen. Whether we be Jew or Gentile, whether we be a bond slave or free, and have been all been made to drink into one Spirit. Hallelujah, the Holy Spirit of God. So we are one in Christ. No matter what nationality you are, there is no nationalities in God. No matter what colour you are, there's no colour in God. No matter anything, there's no Jew, Greek, there's no male, no female. It's just that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And so God is at work in us. Hallelujah. No matter what, you know, even in Africa, it's like, which tribe are you from? Not even a tribe in God. It, you know, culture, as Grace said, culture does not come into it. So many people bring the culture and it's like, no. And I jokingly say, our passport should say Heavenite on it. Where are you from? What nationality? I'm a Heavenite. Where's that? Oh, well, it's here, there, everywhere. It's all over. It's right through the universe. Because I don't know where God is. He's somewhere in the universe. He is the universe. So I'm a Heavenite. So, you know, glory to God. Let's rejoice in that. You know, it doesn't matter. The baptism is the believer's union with Christ. Amen. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says, "For you are all sons of God." Just say that again. "For you are all sons of God." Hallelujah. "Through faith in Christ Jesus." Verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so when we are baptized and when we come up out of that water, we are putting on Christ. Amen. The garments of righteousness. We're being clothed in Christ. We're being clothed to look like Christ. So when every time we get up, the devil looks and says, oh, another Jesus. We've been, in one sense, we've been spiritually cloned to look like the Christ, the Son of the living God. To look like a Son of God. Amen? That's what we are. And praise God. And so baptism is this union of the believer to Christ Jesus. We're not separate. Christ in us and you in Christ. There's no separation. There's no line of division between you and Christ. We've been morphed into that. And so there's no dividing line. There's no difference. Because we are part of that family. We have that, as the world might term, we have that DNA. Hallelujah. That says, my DNA is of the family of God. It happened in that process. God at work in me. God at work in you. Hallelujah. Colossians 2 and verse 11. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 11. "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised up in him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." You were buried in that water as dead, and you were raised up from the dead. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. You know, It's not a thing that is done in the natural. This is, although there's a natural action, it is more than a natural action. It is a supernatural action that is ongoing in that process. In that when you are plunged into that water, when there is a supernatural action of death and yet life as you come up in that Spirit of God, a new creation in Christ Jesus. So, to the believer, baptism is a sign and a seal of their virtual union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus is coming back for a bride. Hallelujah. Baptism is part of it, bringing us to that place of a virtual union with Christ Jesus. Praise His wonderful name. B, the removal of a believer's sin through Christ's death and resurrection. Baptism is an act which symbolizes the removal of the penalty of sin through the blood of Jesus Christ and the resurrection into eternal life. Amen. Our destiny, pre-knowing Jesus, was hell. Our destiny, coming to Christ, is eternal life in Christ. Hallelujah. What a joy. Romans 6 and verse 3. Right through to verse 6. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death, Paul says. Therefore, we were buried with Him through the baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Oh, glory to God. We're walking in newness of life.
Amen.
The old one's gone. The new has come. Verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen.
You know, if we'd been buried with Him and said, well, you know, Christ died and so we died with Him because He died for my sins, my sicknesses, my diseases. We died with Him. But remember that God rose. He caused Him to be raised from the dead. So if Jesus is raised from the dead, if we died with Him, then we're still with Him. When He rises, we rise with Him. Simple, isn't it? You know, glory to God. Absolutely. Yeah, as grace says, we're as healed as He is. And so this is where, you know, everything that was purchased on the cross is still available today. It is not obsolete. We have to begin to take it and use it and declare it and see the power of God moving in people's lives. Verse 6, I think. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Hallelujah. You know, when people start telling me, oh, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that, it's like something's not right. Devil, according to the Word of God, devil has no power. Jesus took the keys of the authority that the devil stole from Adam. And He said, and He gave it back to the church. So, who's got the authority? Jesus has the keys of death and hell. But He left us the keys for everything else. For life and victory in the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And we have to begin to say, them's my keys. And that door is not staying locked. Because I've got a key that opens that door. I'm going to walk in God's freedom, and I'm going to walk through in God's freedom. I'm going to take what rightly belongs to me, and the people that Satan's got locked up, we have the keys to begin to set these captives free.
Amen.
We've got to begin to start doing this. Get fired up.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. See, the believer's identification with Christ in the power and the reality of His resurrection life. There it is in Romans chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, for if we are united in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. That power is there for us. The provision has been made for us to live and lead a victorious life. It's so easy to quit. It's so easy to fall and stay down. That yet the Bible says that when I fall, I shall arise. You know, the only time you're beaten is if you stay down. But if you get up, the devil's like, I don't believe it. I've hit them with everything I've got. And they're still getting up.
Amen.
Yeah. Because the word of God says, you are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You're not being conquered. You have not been born again to be conquered. You have been born again to be a conqueror of conquerors.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So when the devil says, I've conquered, you say, oh, well, you conquered the old man. But the new man's got up. And the new man's got up and the new man's going to conquer you.
Amen.
And that's where we've to press through into, you see. We've got to convince. You see, you have to convince yourself.
Yeah.
You see, you've got to deal with the fanatic in the attic.
Yeah.
And let the fella in the cellar begin to minister and drive out this fanatic that's always bringing you down. That's always speaking defeat. That's always declaring weakness, not strength. This is a good baptismal ministry. This is absolutely. I'm enjoying this. Glory to God. I've done this a few times and, you know, I keep adding to it actually. You know, I just love this. I just enjoy this. The next part, the Lordship of Jesus Christ in the believer. You see, this is where we're at. His Lordship. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. And some of these scriptures will be repeated, but it's just to emphasize these points. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Galatians 3:27. So we are putting on Christ. You know, when you're baptized and in that water you're coming out, you're putting on Christ. You're robed with the robe of righteousness of Christ. You're not unrighteous anymore. And those unrighteous thoughts are being driven out. They're being put to death. And you might say, well, I still get them now and again. We'll use this word. Romans 12 talks, and verse 3 talks about washing the mind. The soulish man. You see, what happens there, it's all about spiritual work that's going on. And then you see what it is. It's changing the dynamics.
Yeah.
From the soulish man and the flesh man ruling the spirit. The dynamics in baptism is changing in that now the spirit man has been ordained with power and strength to rule the man of the soul and the man of the flesh, you see. And so we have to feed the man of the Spirit with the Word of God.
Yeah.
And in doing that, everything lines up.
Yeah.
Everything stays under the submission. Don't dig the old man up. Don't let the devil drag the old man up and say, hey, look, this is you. This is you. Say, no. That's dead. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man in Christ Jesus. You know, that's just a carcass. This is the living Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
This is the Son of God. You see, the Word tells us we are sons and daughters of the living God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
I just love this. Just love this. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Verse 3, 4, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, hallelujah. You see, for you died, verse 3, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You're not just in Christ, you're actually in God, the Creator of all things. You're hidden within him. And it says, and when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a glorious appearing the church will be.
Amen.
You know, the bride of Christ. What a glorious appearing she'll be. Hidden in Christ. Hidden in God. Hallelujah. Matthew 28 and verse 19 says, go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Get out there, get it done. Go, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and on the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You now belong to another when you've been baptized. You belong to another. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. His name. His name is imprinted into you. You're being marked by the Spirit. You're being marked by the Spirit. You know, when they had prisoners of war camp, the Germans, they gave people numbers, they marked them. And I discovered something yesterday that I didn't know. My father has been was in Auschwitz prisoner of war camp for 3 months. And I always wondered why, and I knew that everybody that had been in there had a tattoo, a number on them. And I wondered why I had never ever seen a tattoo on my father's arm. I found out yesterday, after some 70 odd years. He was too young, they didn't give the tattoo below a certain age. I heard him say that to the nurse. He never speaks to me about those things. Honestly, he never has. He's told Daniel more than he's told me. Hasn't he? I remember the first time I took Daniel to the house. My dad was telling him all sorts. Told him, he's never told me these things. I'm getting to know second then. I'm listening in. Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, yeah, right. Yesterday, that were another one. Didn't know that. I don't know whether that's appalling or not, but... You see, I got, I pick it all up. I'm listening all the time. You know? And you know, we are marked by God. That we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. See, there's a seal upon us. The devil don't know where it is. But we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Baptism is dying to self, surrendering everything to God, from which He, God, can and will bring life. All of the ways lead to eternal death, but the way through Jesus Christ leads us to eternal life. Remember that Jesus died as taking your punishment and my punishment, that you might have his covering for your acceptance into the presence and power of the Holy Father God. knowing God's forgiveness, knowing the Father's forgiveness, and the wholeness to enter freely into the presence of God. You know, this is fantastic. It does me good to refresh myself with this, that, you know, this is what I've got. That through this, through what God has done for me, through baptism, it allows me to enter into the presence of God. Oh, you know, this is, you know, it's wonderful that we can enter into the presence of God knowing the total, absolute forgiveness. And you know, for the mistakes I might make during this next week, there is already total and absolute forgiveness already available, already given, already made. You know, when I stumble or fall, it says He picks me up. I look, you know, it doesn't say it in the psalm like that, but you know, can you just imagine what happens with a parent when the child falls? Picks the child up, and you know, and the child might be beginning to cry, and he just, come on, it's okay, and he dusts them off, and he kisses his knees, says, yeah, it's fine, you're okay now, you're better now. Child stops crying, it's like, Daddy's done it, you know, we're okay now. God, He wants, and I just see God the Father. Maybe it's so too simple for you, but it, you know, for me, it's like I just see God the Father just reaching down and, oh, Andrew, you've done it again, haven't you? Come here, let's dust you off, you know. Give me a hug, give me a kiss. Come on, let's do it again. Let's get moving. Don't dwell on your failures. Don't dwell on your past. Don't dwell and say, well, I failed. I made a mistake. Yeah, you did. Okay, move on. Because God is moving on with you. God wants you to move on. God is not standing there saying, well, do you remember when you did this? And do you remember this? And do you remember? That's what the devil does. God is moving.
Amen.
And we need to continue to move with Him. No turning back.
Amen.
Keep pressing on.
Amen.
Keep pressing forward. Even when it seems to be a challenge that's so difficult. Even when it seems to be too big. The victory is in Christ.
Amen.
And the victory is ours through Christ. Hallelujah. Don't be like Sodom and Gomorrah with Lot. Lot's wife. Holding on to her past. Trying to bring it with her. Because in holding on to her past, it's an entrapment and it's death.
Yeah.
And you know, in looking back to the past, she became a pillar of salt. She didn't arrive at the destination that God had for her. We need to let go of it. Just let it go. Yeah, but there's so much. Yeah, just let it go. Because you can't. You need two hands to grasp what's coming. You need two hands to take hold of what God has got for you. Because there is such an abundance that is coming that we need to be prepared for. Don't be a prisoner to your old habits and your old ways.
Amen.
Praise God. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said, Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said to him, no man who puts his hand to the plow is fit for the kingdom of God. And turns his back. I've missed part of that scripture. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 60. Luke 9:62. No, here. Just give me a second. Let's read it right. Just for videotape and one of your purposes. 62. But Jesus said unto him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look back. Don't look back. Keep looking forward. Because looking back, those are your mistakes. We know that. We know we made mistakes. But when you're moving forward, if you keep looking back, you're going to walk, you're going to stumble, you're going to fall. You need to look where the Spirit is taking us, where the Lord is taking us. Just remember, you know, in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, Jesus says here, remember Lot wise. Remember Lot's wife. In verse 33, whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life will preserve it. Oh, that's a bit of a mixture, isn't it? Whoever seeks to keep his life will lose it. You see, you can't keep your life. You don't have the ability. So what do? We cast our life, we cast everything about us, we cast it upon God. And we give it to God. And say, it's yours. And the moment we do that, he says, so in one sense, we're giving our life up. We're giving our life up, we're losing it. As it says in Scripture. Whoever loses his life, will preserve it. Because we've given it to the eternal God, the eternal Father. We've given it to Christ, who can and will preserve and take us on into victory. And he goes on to say, I tell you, on the night there will be two in one bed. One will be taken, the other one left. There will be two women grinding at the same place. One will be taken, the other one will be left. Two men will be in a field. One will be taken and the other one left. We need to be knowing. Being about the Father's business. Doing the work of God because we're anointed and appointed to do the work of God. When time is over, when the appointed day is ready, God will just do it. And I know there are people arguing about dates. I mean, there are people who've named dates, written books, and said, in this such and such a year, the Lord's coming and everything's going to... And people were planning and getting ready for it and, you know, they're all sorted everything out. Guess what? Jesus didn't come. And they'd sold thousands of books and made thousands of pounds profit on it. So then they wrote another book. It was an Englishman living in America. I know him. He knows him as well. They wrote another book. The reason why Jesus didn't come in, I can't remember what year it was, and sold up another pile of them. I mean, who are these Christians who are so gullible to go and buy a book to find out why Jesus didn't come? You see, I don't understand that. You know, I'm like, okay, maybe there's something wrong with me. I don't know, but I just think, I don't think about Jesus might come today. Right? In the sense that I'm planning, I need to get ready. We need to be always ready. And I don't think, will he come tomorrow? I've got plans for tomorrow. Right? When I wake up in the morning, I've got things to do. And I'm going to live my life in accordance to the things and the principles of the Word of God. And if Jesus decides he's coming tomorrow, fine. Because I'm ready. That's all it needs to be. But I don't need to be thinking, as if you stood at the station saying, I wonder when that train's coming through for glory. You know? I've got my ticket. Come on, Lord. I'm just waiting. Is it first class or am I in second class? You know, what is it? But I'm waiting for that train to come through. And you're standing there and you're standing in that same position and you're doing absolutely diddly squat for the kingdom of God. Be about the Father's business. That's what it says. Jesus said, go! He didn't say, stand and wait. He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cast out demons in my name. The command, the commission has never changed. The church seems to have forgotten it. But it's not changed. And we need to be about it. And we need to be getting ourselves equipped and ready and able to be about it and doing it together for the glory of God. Praise His wonderful name. So, God's at work in our lives. Baptism is surrendering everything to God, to which then He will bring life with an abundance. All other ways will bring death. But remember, that Jesus died. And he's taking my punishment, your punishment, that you might have his forgiveness, his wholeness, to enter freely into the presence of God. Amen. So that's the teaching on baptism. That's what baptism's all about. It's going to be an exciting day. And it's going to be a joy and a pleasure to see God moving in your lives, blessing you. It was a joy to see Louise when she was baptized. She had a fear of water. Glory to Jesus. And you overcame it by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, and the word of your testimony. And so the only other thing I have to say is that for those of you that will be baptized, will be going through this wonderful process of service and rejoicing in God, just come and share a testimony that you gave your life to Christ and that you want to follow him through the waters of baptism. You want to just follow wherever the footsteps of Jesus go, that's where you're going to go. And just, you know, bring a testimony, your testimony, not mine, your testimony. Because yours is very powerful and very personal, and it's great. And so we want, you know, just, and it is there as you declare and give your testimony. You are declaring before principalities and powers. You're declaring before the devil and saying, guess what? I now belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am no more a sinner. I am a saint in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm free. And I am free. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God.